Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to this afternoon's study session for May City Council, Monday, November 18th, 2013. The first item on tonight's agenda is a review of the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. So we will begin on page 2, items 2 through 3D. Items 3E and 3G, I've been informed on item 3F. I believe I've been told that they're trying to remedy that situation, and so we'll pull it off consent for now and see if that gets remedied. Item 3G, the recommendation for denial, staff, I understand, has now removed that because the applicant has paid and has met all requirements.
Requirements by police and fire.
Okay, so that the recommendation for denial is just a normal recommendation, meaning that a vote for that for 3G will now be forwarded as a recommendation for approval. Okay.
Courthouse, isn't that the name of a really bad movie?
A really bad movie?
With drunken riots in it.
Wait a second.
The Excuse Double
me.
Deuce.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Hold on. Patrick Swayze was in there. Rest in peace.
Patrick. Wait, wait. Was this not wait. Patrick Swayze's worst Excuse movie me. Ever?
No.
There was worse.
I'm sorry, Dave, we're not on the agenda anymore.
No, we're talking about the Double D's. We are definitely
Dave
on the
Richards
agenda.
Has told me that Patrick Swayze was incapable of making a bad movie.
Oh. Well, that and the Teen Beat poster I used to have right now.
I don't think you are kidding.
All right. Okay. 4A through 4C.
So we're moving past 3G.
Yes. 4D through 4F. Four G and four H. I mean, he's sitting there with the clay pot and Demi Moore. How could you not? Kerry Kent, tears, right? I know that's Ghost. It's still Patrick Swayze.
Demi Moore was more masculine than he was even in that movie.
And wait a second. Red Dawn. The original one, not the make. The remake was horrible. The original Red Dawn. Right? I think he gets forgiven for Roadhouse for those two movies. 4I through 4K. Four L through five A. Whoopi Goldberg was also in Ghost, by the way.
Is that in one of the?
That was
titles?
Before The View.
Now we are off the agenda.
No. We're still back on 5B.
There's no Whoopi Goldberg.
5B to 6A.
And Mayor, we're going to have it when you're done with the agenda. We'd like to come back. We have a
to 5F.
Yeah, we'll have that presentation
okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Yeah, we'll do that when we get done. 7A through 8A, Mr. Wesley.
Yes, Mayor. On item 7C, today in review we found a technical problem with the ordinance, a number that got in there wrong. We need to reintroduce the ordinance on 7C. So when you pull this from tonight's agenda, we'll reintroduce it on the 2nd and have it heard on December the 9th. Talk with the applicant. They're aware of this. We'll continue some of the other processing so that doesn't...
You want to just reintroduce... You want to reintroduce the new one tonight, or you want to wait?
Introduce it on the 2nd.
Okay, so this is 7C is off the agenda.
Yes.
All righty. Okay. Mr. Summers.
I'm going to back up just a little bit because I was going to do it upstairs, but I think I'd rather do it down here on item 4N on the employment contract because we've discussed this back in September, I think, when the City Council had the opportunity to do a market analysis and look at our financial situation and make a decision on compensation for the city manager. And I know that Council Member Luna wasn't here, so he didn't have the opportunity to listen. But we had also made some discussions. I just wanted to ask some questions of the city manager. In some conversations outside of that, we had talked about employee compensation, particularly for those members who have been employed for us for a long time, who are in, who are topped out in their pay scale, who haven't had a pay raise since 2007, that was something we were going to look at. Also, for our senior managers below the level of, Debbie, any of the charter members, we were also doing a study of pay and compensation for them. And could you tell us where we are for both of those employee groups and where we may be financially for addressing those issues in the coming fiscal year?
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Summers, we are ongoing looking at our salaries and making sure or determining our competitive position with competitive communities as well as, in some cases, some private sector companies to make sure we have competitive wages with the city. And we are doing that. As a matter of fact, three cities in the region recently completed salary surveys, and we're taking the work that they've done and being able to evaluate where Mesa stands in relationship to the work that they've been able to complete. Scottsdale, Gilbert, and Phoenix all completed studies. So we'll look at that. We recognize and have heard that that a lot of our employees are concerned that after several years, they've reached the top of their range, and therefore they're not eligible for additional increases. Now, that top of that range represents the market for those positions, but it also suggests to us that we need to continue to evaluate where those positions stand in relationship to the our competitive cities. So what we are looking at that, again, as I said, with these studies that have already been completed, that's our first go-around. And certainly as we are recognize other positions that are maybe not included in these studies, but we need to study and look at, we'll do that. And so we're committed to making sure we have competitive salaries and benefits together. So again, one, we've already started doing the work because we've got the results that have already been completed, and we'll continue to do studies as needed for other positions during the year and bring those recommendations forward as we include in the budget. As far as what the budget has available, it certainly has, as we've seen, I think we're now, forget how many consecutive months have improved sales tax, although very slight, it is an improvement, so we'll be happy with that for now. And we hopefully see some encouraging results as we go and continue to go through the year.
I'd just like to say I would support moving forward with those things to the extent that the budget is, of course, able to support that, because we have a lot of great employees who are providing boots on the ground services, whether they're police officers or water or firefighters or many others, who are very important to the day-to-day lives of our constituents. And they've gone through a lot in the last few years. They took a pay cut when we asked them to. They did get that money back. They've weathered some tough times, and as we start to come out, they're not able to come to the city council and ask one-on-one for a review of their record. And I'm sure there are some folks that are doing some really phenomenal work. So the opportunity for those, and they'll negotiate in a group, mm-hmm. to look at providing them with some increased compensation, particularly since they haven't had an increase in a very long time. And certainly to make sure that our managerial lever, that our managers are compensated fairly as well. And I'm sure what we're going to be seeing over the course of the next few years as the market does improve is that the market for some of our fine employees, I know Trish went over to the city of Phoenix. It's hard to it's hard to compete with a city that size that throws money at it. And she's well worth it. Catherine. Catherine, I'm sure she's well worth it. She did a great job, but it speaks to the fact that we have such great employees doing the management level, police and fire chief and utility managers who are doing just a phenomenal work to make sure that their compensation is fair and that we're able to the best we can, retain them.
Thank you. Just a reminder, one of the things we did do in this budget, which we hope will make a difference for employees, is we're not increasing any of the health benefit costs this coming year, so that we think that'll help. And specifically, money back in their pocket in next month, in December, there'll be no premium health care, there'll be no deductions for premium health benefits next month. So that for some that could be $300-$400 that are on the family plan. So we're trying to do what we can to make sure our employees, but certainly we need to look at the pay, I agree, but we're also trying to find other ways to help our employees.
And there are a lot of different ways that we participate in compensation. There are many ways we compensate employees,
right.
You know, just pay, but certainly money in the pocket ultimately ends up being hopefully spent in our community in Mesa.
We did remind the employees that our new financial system allows us to track dollars from that premium benefit savings.
Can we pay them in company script? I don't think that's going to pass. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Then the last one, 8B through 9A. Okay. Next item is appointments to boards and committees. Kevin, your packet. I have a motion from Councilmember Kavanaugh, second from Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Items 3, acknowledge and receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Motion from Councilmember Glover, second from Vice Mayor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Say nay. Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings or conferences attended. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Mayor, I'd like to report this morning I spent some great quality time with students from the East Valley Institute of Technology who bought a whole lot of toys for the toy drive that we're sponsoring for Cardin Children's Hospital. And so I just wanted to thank all those students. We're hoping to have them be able to come to one of our upcoming council meetings to get some recognition for the leadership that they've shown on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Summers.
First of all of us, or most of us, I think, attended the...
Thank you. Everybody gets a raise except the electrician. All right, maybe it's just my fault. The National League of Cities in Seattle, I think all of us, for the most part, are except... David Looney, you're brand new, so you haven't had a chance to be selected, but the opportunity to serve with the National League of Cities and really make a difference in creating national municipal policy that is then taken from these committees to the Hill to advocate for the best interests of cities is an honor. And we had the opportunity to finalize and adopt national municipal policy. Mine was on public safety and crime prevention. One of the issues we dealt with was the FEMA increases in flood insurance and asking for a slight delay in that so they can complete the brand new FEMA flood maps, which would then can lead to an informed decision. In other news, one other thing I wanted to touch on today is I wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to Weathermasters. Weathermasters is an HVAC heating air conditioning company. They are a small business. Small, they don't have a Twitter account, I asked. But they are a small business here in Mesa, and they, in what is truly a Christmas and holiday spirit, decided to do a giveaway to a family, deserving family who needed HVAC unit in their home. And the winner was selected, happens to live in my district. She, great lady, she is a dedicated grandmother. She works two jobs to make ends meet. Her unit, it was 30 years old, finally went out. She was working using air conditioning units out of the window, which I haven't seen since I've lived back east. And one of those gave out, so she was trying to cool her entire house off of just one AC unit. And then for heat, Alex, you'll love that she was using space heaters, and you know how dangerous those can be, especially since she has two cats, and cats just love tipping over space heaters and creating fires. So she was the recipient from, again, Weathermasters, a small Mesa business who is going to install all brand-new central HVAC unit for her over the next couple of days, and she will be warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and a great Mesa company. It just shows the how much our Mesa companies mean and how much they do really truly care about the community. Just one example.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Brady.
Mayor, just a reminder, we have the Building Stronger Neighborhoods meeting tomorrow, District 4. It'll be at Lowland Elementary School, so we invite everybody there. The meeting will begin at 6:30 p.m. Our next study session will be Thursday, November 21st at 7:30 a.m. We also want to congratulate the staff on a great event. We had the Boston Pops at Holcomb Stadium. I think it went off really nicely. So thank you very much for that. Mayor, we do have a presentation. It's for 5F, or is everybody comfortable
with that? You forgot it. I forgot it before we end it.
We've got time if council. We just think this is a
let's find
significant
let's
adjustment to a
we
larger
just
agreement.
We both zipped by it and forgot about it. Let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Okay, thank you.
I thought I got pulled because it was up there.
Thanks for reminding me.
Are we going to go back through meetings and conferences?
No. I was letting you go through the natural flow and then.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Christine Zalanka with the Development and Sustainability Department, and this is Scott Rigby, who you all know, and one of our crack economic development project managers.
He's cracked, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Just a quick overview. In 2008, we first did a development agreement with DMB. What you've got up here on the slide right now is just a general overview. It's essentially the old GM Proving Grounds, about 3,200 acres of it. Spent a lot of time working on that development agreement and figuring out how the city could be as flexible as possible to allow for a very large development to kind of meet market conditions and evolve over time. At that time, we had a couple of issues that are no longer allowed under state law. The biggest change that you'll see in this Second Amendment is when we first did it, we allowed impact fee credits. And several weeks ago, you actually adopted a continuation of the current impact fee credits. Basically, the concept is the development pays for itself. Based on the way the city proceeded with maintaining our impact fees, we're not allowed to give credits to the development industry. So we had to try to figure out a way to basically resolve that particular issue, and I'm going to talk about that. The conservative estimate based on a very conservative build-out of single-family homes was that the value of those impact fees over about a 20-year period would be in the range of $10 million. The other issue that we allowed in that first development agreement was that we would provide impact fees for potable wells at the site, and also that impact fee credits would be provided for library to be determined at some point in the future, but that we would collect the library impact fees and maintain them sort of in a separate bucket for eventual development of the library. Again, none of those things are currently allowed under state law. So the agreement that we've come to and that you're looking at tonight, the potable water well sites, I'm sorry, there's approximately 4 to 6 well sites that will be...
So what you're saying is that the new state law doesn't allow us to collect impact fees, which would have been used to build a library in that neighborhood.
No, sir. Minor modification...
Give credits for that.
Pardon me?
To give credits for that or to collect that.
Yes, we can. The way we proceeded under the new state statute, we can continue to collect impact fees as long as they are used to pay down pledged debt for bonded projects.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So you couldn't build a new library.
You couldn't build a new library.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yes, I'm sorry.
You can't collect impact fees. I'm trying to get people to know how the total impact of this new impact fee law, which actually was supposedly meant to keep people from paying for other people's stuff. One of the unintended consequences was it actually kept people in that neighborhood from getting the benefit from impact fees they would have paid to build things in that neighborhood.
Correct, sir.
Okay?
Yes.
And that's unfortunately one of the consequences of the impact fee change.
Right. So what we've tried to do is figure out a way to resolve that particular problem. The main agreement point that you'll see in the development agreement tonight, and this is the Second Amendment. The First Amendment really did some minor tweaks. It pushed out some of the infrastructure requirements associated with what was the Gaylord at the time and the hospitality facilities, and also established fair market value for any land that the city purchased. And the first DA, we actually had a figure in there. We changed that to fair market value. So what we're proposing tonight is on the potable well sites that the city would purchase those at fair market value. There would not be impact fee credits associated with them. we would eliminate all of the discussion. It's basically stricken on impact credits for anything associated with a great park. And what we're proposing in lieu of that is that we use approximately $6.5 million for infrastructure improvements, moving towards economic development goals of the recently passed bond election. And if in the future there is a water resources bond election, if the voters approve it and if council authorizes the bonds, there would be an additional $3 million of water resource infrastructure provided somewhere on the proving grounds to further economic development. Additionally, when the First Solar, which is now Apple, project went through, there was a credit owed the city of $570,970. That's being eliminated. And also the requirement that impact fees go to libraries. We're basically saying that the city will operate as it does on all other types of major projects, that when the city decides a library is needed out there, we would follow the normal capital improvement project.
So if I read this right, the potable water, they were going to have impact fees, we were going to credit that back, and we got the well sites. Now we're just going to buy them.
Correct.
So the net is exactly the same.
Exactly.
We're just buying it as opposed to having them give it and give it credit, collect impact fees. So it's just a straight burden.
Right.
Same dollar. The credits are about $10 million. What we're doing is, we said, instead of giving you the credit, which we can't do, we're going to build $9.5 million in infrastructure. We're going to pay for that, and then we're going to eliminate this credit, which equals about $10 million.
Yeah, and Mayor, it's very clear, too, that it has to be in, we've got, it can be used, but it has to be used in areas where we have an economic impact.
Right.
And that's how we have, in our bond package, there's actually a set, we had identified a certain amount of street projects for economic development projects, kind of like we've done in the past when we've done Signal Butte and Elliott, where we use it to leverage opportunities. So DMB will have to come to us and show us that they're, and they've identified their early areas where they're trying to create employment centers or some kind of activity that we would consider economic development. It wouldn't be used in residential neighborhoods, I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
It couldn't be used for collector streets in a neighborhood. That's not what we intended. We wanted to leverage other economic development opportunities in the area.
I guess what I'm getting at is that net, the dollar amount is net
same.
Zero.
It's yes. The same. We're either paying it out of a credit for the impact fees, which we would otherwise collect, we'll pay for it out of street or water improvements.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And just to go to the city manager's point, this is the actual community plan, the development unit areas throughout the development. So as each of these development unit plans come in, all of the departments look at it, the economic impact is looked at, and that's where the decisions will be made as each of these development units come in. Where does it make sense to spend that money? And that'll be a collaborative decision between the city manager, economic development, and the developer. Are there any questions? Scott, did you have anything to offer?
No, I think the key thing is, you know, the idea that one of the successes we had is the recent Apple announcement was largely because of the city's investment of infrastructure. If we can use this opportunity to kind of further what we saw up on Signal View and Elliott, maybe it's continuation of Elliott Road in order to help spur suppliers or vendors of Apple per se, or somewhere down in Ellsworth that wants to take advantage of being across street from the airport, this provides us the opportunity to help jumpstart those non-residential type of econ development projects.
And this actually gives us more flexibility, as Mr. Brady said, because the reason why the credits were eliminated in the law is that the developers believed that there was too much of a timing difference and everything between, they would pay impact fees, but they'd have to front load the cost of major infrastructure. There was no connection between the infrastructure the developer put in and whether it was economic, whether it created a boom to economic development or not. It was just whatever they needed to do to service their project.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they sold homes, cities would give credits back, that pay impact fees, and the cities would credit that back. So net, it was zero cost, but the timing was different, and there was developers who believed that sometimes they got left holding the bag. That's why the credits were eliminated. So I think that what this does for us is that financially we're the same, but we actually get to have a little bit more determination as to where these costs are going, and we can target them in what we would believe would have more of a community benefit than we might otherwise. So I think this actually turns out better for us. Am I reading it right?
The advantage for the developer is the impact fees would have been paid out over a period of time.
Right.
And so, like you said, the improvements kind of get apportioned out over that period of time. What we've agreed to, and actually we think it's to their advantage, we have a shared vision now of advantages. If we can leverage street and water improvements to help accelerate economic development opportunities in the DMV area or the East Mark area, then that's the advantage to get the dollars, the infrastructure dollars up sooner than they were waiting for the whole 10 years. But at the end of the day, we've seen by investing early on, we actually get a pretty quick return on some of our investments.
We can create opportunities
right.
that otherwise we wouldn't have.
Right.
Okay. Any questions?
Excellent.
Thank you. That was worth the wait. All right.
Oh, you have it.
Have an update?
Oh, here you go.
I have an update. Antipasto's just came in and paid everything, so we're good if the council's
so
open.
So the recommendation for denial is being canceled, right?
Yes. Right. We'll do
okay. Thank so you. That'll be back on consent agenda 3F and both 3F
and 3G are back on consent.
3G are back on consent with no.
With four approval.
Four approval.
With recommendation,
recommendation
to approve.
Four.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right. I wonder if they're going to have a Patrick Swayze real-life thing.
What was he, like 5'4"?
Dave would be disappointed if they don't.
May he rest in peace.
That's why you do a statue for him.
I never said anything bad about Dave. Just the movie was terrible.
Or maybe just a clay pot so people can visualize.
Maybe that's what you drink the beer out of.
They wouldn't see him, though.
Maybe do some over the Arch Center. Okay.
All righty. There being no further legitimate business, we have motion adjourned, Councilman Kavanaugh, second Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. We'll see you upstairs.